Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today's show we'll be talking about unconditional love. And today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today. Wait until we're here again live. Look forward to talking with you soon. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're going to be talking about unconditional love. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Tell me more.
This is such a perfect topic for this time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, even more so maybe than other times of year, although it's always a perfect topic.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about unconditional love, as a matter of fact, and I may have told you this story, but I came upon this little plan because of someone in my life who I spend time with and really care a lot for, but has a very different personality from mine, really different approach to life. You know, the kind of person that ordinarily, if we had met one another and didn't have these interests that we pursue or things that we work on together, we wouldn't necessarily know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision at some point that what I wanted to do is just love him unconditionally.
Uh-huh.
That was the easiest way to approach it, because I got really tired of pointing out to myself or hearing it pointed out to me inside my head what an odd thing that was that he just did or said.
Uh-huh.
And if I had to do that every time his conditioning ran into my conditioning, it was just going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
And so I thought, it really doesn't matter. If I just make a decision to love him unconditionally, then there's an umbrella under which all of this can, whatever you do with an umbrella, is it, you know, it doesn't fall under the umbrella, it doesn't, but however that little image would be finished, everything fits under that umbrella. There
uh-huh.
we are. And so I no longer have to have those conversations. Yeah. I love him unconditionally, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he's different from me, and yes, he makes different decisions, and no, I don't really understand how his mind works, and I don't really understand how he got there, or that, but it doesn't matter. Those things have nothing to do with how I feel about him.
Uh-huh.
And so in doing that process, I realized, you know, I'm a quick study. I realized, well, golly gee, you know, you could do that with everything and everybody on the planet.
Uh-huh.
Because what really does loving someone have to do with sort of with their personality traits or their, as we talk about it, egocentric karmic conditioning or anything else that's going on with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just love somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing to me that goes with that is that there's an opportunity then to just be interested in
uh-huh.
how the person is and what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
'Cause it's no longer, you know, boy, if she says that one more time, that's it, I'm out of here. It's just, that's interesting. She keeps saying that, and it's interesting that I keep reacting.
Uh-huh.
Huh, isn't that interesting? Now I wonder who that's about.
Uh-huh.
And so it brings it back to awareness practice rather than drama, which I think is always helpful. And I think about that a lot at this time of year because we're, what, three weeks from Christmas or whatever it is, and we're right smack in the middle of Hanukkah, aren't we? I think something close to that. And you know, a lot of people are spending time with family.
Yes.
Way more intense, personal, intimate time with family than maybe they choose to spend throughout the year.
Yes.
So, unconditional love.
Uh-huh. So you don't have to spend the time trying to decide, am I going to like this person? Am I not going to like this person? Am I going to love them?
No, because that decision has been made.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm committed.
Yes.
So it's just easier to me. It's easier and more straightforward. And the thing that's so easy, of course, is that it ends the conversation in my head, which is where
yes.
the only problem was in the first place.
Great.
Yeah.
And I think we have some people on the line here who are interested in talking about the same topic.
Well, that's very handy.
That is very handy, seeing as it's a call-in talk show.
Yes.
Great. Let's bring them on the line. I'd like to welcome our callers to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Are you there?
Am I actually on?
You are actually on.
Wonderful. My name is Jane. Hey, Jane. And I was actually looking at what you were talking about in terms of unconditional love for an internal process that I'm working with.
Aha.
I've been engaged in a project of giving up trying to be right.
Ooh. Now, let's just stop and focus on that and take that in for a moment, because I just bet there's not a single person almost on this planet over the age of, what, maybe two, who couldn't benefit from that. So you are giving up needing to be right.
Yes, yes, or wow. Even trying to be right.
Trying to be, oh,
yeah.
Wanting to be right, needing to be right, trying to be right.
Yes.
Yeah, because those are different facets of the same jewel, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
All touching in different areas.
Uh-huh.
And it certainly calls upon the unconditional love resources.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, I'm not doing very many things right.
Including giving up being right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boy, that's a gets you coming and going, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying to be right because I really want to be right and I need to be right.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not right.
Yes.
To be trying to be right.
Well, trying to be right is the wrong thing to be trying to do.
Trying to be right is the wrong thing to be trying to do. So now I'm trying to be right by not trying to be right.
Yes.
And then I run into all of that conditioning about, but you should be right.
Mm-hmm.
So what it really comes down to, it seems to me, from a conditioning perspective, is I should be right without trying.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the big thing right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if I were the right person, then I wouldn't have to try to be right. I would just be right.
It would just happen.
It would just happen. It would be a non-issue. And then I could be sort of humble and self-effacing and oblivious, really, to the whole fact that I am just always right.
Yeah, yeah. And when I give up trying to be right, everything should go right.
When I give up trying to be right, then everything should go right. Yes, because then I would be the right person.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the right person gets all the rewards.
Yes.
Oh, this is very big, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and what I've been finding is when I can really sort of be in that place of whatever happens is whatever happens.
Uh-huh.
Without either trying to be right or trying to be wrong or trying not to be right or any of those things.
Or just not trying to be in the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then that's the place of what I hear with unconditional love.
Uh-huh. So really, if you are loved unconditionally, what difference does it make whether you're what somebody calls right or what somebody calls wrong?
Well, and what happens is when I'm in that place that of unconditional love, there isn't any right and wrong. There isn't any part of me assessing whether this was a good thing or a bad thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And there isn't anybody, there isn't anybody keeping score.
Exactly.
There isn't anybody who's going to get something or lose something based on the results.
Exactly.
So there's really no sense in being involved with it at all, is there?
Right.
Yeah. It becomes irrelevant with unconditional love.
Yeah, and it's just incredibly relaxing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is just so big because I picture an entire world full of people who are loved unconditionally, and it doesn't matter whether they're the right person or the wrong person or anything else about it. They're just loved. And how relaxing and how peaceful the world would be.
Yeah, peaceful is what I was saying, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because who wants to go to war?
Right. The only reason to go to war is to be right.
To argue about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So I appreciate the subject. Thank you very much.
Oh, we appreciate the contribution.
Thanks.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. So it sounds like the unconditional love that you're talking about is not something that we need to look for outside.
Exactly. Yeah. We're taught that it's outside.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I'm having that experience myself, it doesn't really matter what anybody else is doing.
That's right. Well, and the funny part of it is, if I'm doing that process myself, because projection being what it is, I think everybody else is too.
Can you say more about that?
Well,
or explain what projection is also?
Yeah, somebody wrote into the email class that we're just finishing up, and what she was telling us is that she and her husband, for the last 5 years, have been doing this process where they meet once a week, and they sit down, and they tell one another what they appreciate about one another. And so what's happened to them over the years is that they spend all week looking for those things that they appreciate. Now, anyone who's ever been in a relationship knows that what we previously do is spend all week looking for those things that annoy us.
Yes.
That you know,
all the time.
The disappointments, the insensitivities, all of those things that we're looking for. But they practice looking for the things that they appreciate. And what she said was that even the things that used to be annoying or a source of strife or tension in the relationship, the things they wanted to change in one another, have become, over time, things that they appreciate because there's so much growth that's involved in that. So if I am unconditionally loving myself, I assume, because I'm doing unconditional love, I think everybody else is doing the same thing.
Is loving you unconditionally.
And loving unconditionally.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It would be hard for somebody to convince me otherwise. Now, that's difficult for us to imagine because that's not the perspective that we're looking from.
Right.
Okay? But if you thought the primary motivation of everyone in the world is love, then you would be looking at whatever they're doing in their lives through that lens, and you would see it as a natural outgrowth of love.
Yes.
So even if they're angry and yelling at someone, you would, I imagine, project from your own experience, you would look at it and say, well, gosh, if I were doing that, it would be because I really love this person, and I don't want them to be unhappy or disappointed, or I want them to get it right.
I'm concerned.
For Jane.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm concerned about them. I'm worried about them. And it colors whatever it is that we're doing, colors everything that we see because we're projecting through our own experience.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm looking for everything I appreciate in that other person, I'm going to think the other person is doing the same thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if I get other information, it wouldn't actually affect my experience. Because the only experience we really have is the one that we're having, and the only thing that we ever see is what we're projecting.
Yes. Yes. Amazing.
It's astounding. And it's actually much simpler and more straightforward than we would ever thought to believe that it is.
Yes. Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today. Please call us when we're on the air again live. Quick update. If you want to email us when we're off the air, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. Again, that's openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives of the show are right here at worldtalkradio.com. And we'll be back in just a moment. Listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're talking about unconditional love. Coming up in segment two, we'll be continuing our conversation on that topic. So please keep it tuned here. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. Today we're talking about unconditional love. It's a rich topic, Sherry.
It is. It's life-changing. And again, I think that the thing that is significant to keep in mind about it as we practice is that it's really easy.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the reason people get married.
Uh-huh. It's the reason people will get married.
Yes.
Because of unconditional love.
Because it makes the decision.
Uh-huh.
You know, should I date other people? No. I'm married. You know, should I pursue that person? No. I'm married. Uh-huh. Shall I move to another city? No. I'm married. You know, it's just all those things that could, you know, it really consume a person's mind.
Yeah.
Right up until they say, I do or I will or whatever it is that they say. Supposedly. I mean, in theory. That's supposed to take care of all of those questions.
Yeah. And
Shall I be involved with this person? Shall I be emotionally available? Shall I be affectionate and caring? Should I? I'm married.
To this person.
To this person. Yeah, exactly. So in the same way with unconditional love, you know, should I be nice to this person? Should I be sensitive to them? Should I care about them? Should I be interested in them? Yes. I love them unconditionally.
Yeah.
So I don't have to withdraw that love for any circumstance that happens to be occurring in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard you talk about it along those lines in the sense of that commitment being so powerful because it ends that conversation.
Ends that conversation. Now, of course, if we're really conditioned, we can immediately segue into the, did I make a mistake? Maybe I shouldn't have married this person. Maybe I should have moved to that. But, you know, then at least for most people, at least most people we talk to, there's an awareness that that's a process that's going on.
Yes.
We don't have to believe it in quite the same way. And if we have a habit of honoring our commitments, then that conversation that comes up, the conversation of resistance, gets really obvious, and we very quickly learn simply not to indulge it.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's powerful.
It is powerful. It's one of the biggest arguments for monastic practice. Not that I think that this is going to become a popular thing, as popular, say, as marriage in this culture. However, it is one of the things that we learn when we make that kind of commitment, no matter for how long we make that commitment.
Yes.
We learn that making a commitment ends a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to do this? Do I like this? Do I feel like this? Am I happy with this? It's irrelevant. There's no sense in going into that because this is where I am and this is what I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Should we talk to some more people about unconditional love?
Let's hear what they have to say.
All right. I'd like to welcome our next caller on the topic of unconditional love. Are you there?
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Hi. This is Susan calling.
Welcome, Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hello. It feels like what I've been looking at is having had a recent experience of going into familiar situations with more of an experience of unconditional love on my side, you know, and watching kind of a backlash after that experience. It feels like an expansion, it's my role or it's my gift, it's what I can offer to this situation is unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
And having an incredible experience, and then just watching this kind of contraction afterwards and being really curious. Curious has been kind of the best place that I've gotten to in this contraction. Just really, really curious about how it is, who it is in me that is, it feels like fear is kind of what came up, or that is choosing instead of that expansive place of unconditional love to go back into a place of kind of, I don't know, not that degree of gratitude and, you know, back into that contracted place.
Okay. Now, you said a word, and I'm not certain I heard it. Did you say earlier serious that you came out of this experience? And how did you describe yourself?
Well, I'm not sure what word I used. I was saying that I came out of an experience that was kind of familiar, old situations to be in.
Right, but you were very expansive in it.
Yes, yeah.
And then when you came out of it, fear, you were aware of fear arising.
Yeah.
But I thought you used some word to describe sort of the tone of how you were as you transitioned out of that experience. But
Curious.
Uh-huh. Curious, serious. Those can sound a lot alike. Okay. And so what you've noticed is that there's more fear present in your life?
Yeah, that period is followed by a degree of fear that just was not there before.
Uh-huh.
Kind of as if, I'm not sure how to put my finger on it, but just as if that was too, you know, it's kind of like a saying that was too big.
Yeah. Well, and when you were talking, I was thinking that that is something that we notice in awareness practice, mm-hmm. that there will be a period of expansiveness, and then what arises to get us back to our usual small little place that's familiar to us as a personality, the fastest trip back is through fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there, from what you're describing, you were expansive in this situation, and you must have been fairly expansive before you went into the situation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? Because it occurred to you to be unconditionally loving in this circumstance.
Yes.
Yeah. So then when you come back into your regular life and that fear arises, not only do you lose the expansiveness of the unconditional love in the situation, but you lose the expansiveness that caused you to go into that situation and be unconditionally loving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like one step forward, two steps back at least.
Right, right. Yeah. Maybe more than two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so can you get a sense from this that the only way out of that is unconditional love?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's been really clear this week.
Yes.
Because what I've watched is, so there's fear, and there's also kind of this sense of pressure, you know, conditioning, putting pressure on that there is now a standard, which is what always happens. It should, unconditional love should continue to look this way. This is how I should be.
Uh-huh.
So there's kind of fear, and then there's pressure, and there's just a lot of emotion that arises.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, either it's being, either it's resisting that experience and those emotions, or just unconditional love, you know, so it
yes.
looks,
And the choice is really clear and obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because everything that you do other than unconditional love just digs you into a deeper hole.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so I'm gonna resist the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then I'll resist the resistance. All right, I'm gonna resist the contraction. And,
yeah, I think that's why my body's in a little bit of a knot right now.
Yeah. And so the other choice that we have is, I'll just unconditionally love all of it,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
you know can be as simple as, okay, this is what we've got. Why fight it?
Right. And every time there's been that movement, it's been just grace. You know,
oh.
just thank you.
Oh yeah. Just it you know, that we talk about saying yes to life, or if failing that, okay, and you know if you can't get to okay, well. Maybe, and anything that we can put out on that into the continuum is enough just to tip the whole thing over.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be, you know, if it's a teeter-totter, it's about 9 kajillion pounds out there on the no side.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is inch over past the middle, and poof, the whole thing drops onto the other side.
Yeah, that's
suddenly we're in yes, we're expansive, everything is working. There is no problem. You look back and wonder what was wrong. What was going on? What was I suffering over? What was that conversation about?
Yeah. And that it, you know, you were talking about being married earlier, and that's it. It's just there is no. It's just needing to be committed to myself.
Yeah. Committed to yourself
in the way of a marriage. You know.
Yeah.
There is no choosing.
Committed to your
thing.
Life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, committed to you, a commitment to you and your life. We think it's such a big deal to make a commitment to another person and a life with another person. And I think it's considered such a very big deal because almost nobody has a commitment to themselves and their own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first commitment is going to be when we find somebody else to commit to, but that should be kind of way down the line for us.
Yeah, yeah, and as you were saying that, what I just got was that, you know, when we are committed to our life, committed to our own lives, whatever else we commit to just comes out of that commitment.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So nothing.
And we don't have to worry about our ability to keep commitments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're living our ability to keep a commitment.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you.
Where are you now?
I'm really glad that I brought it up. I'm really glad that I talked about it.
Pretty expansive.
Yeah. Feeling supported in my commitment to my life.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love spiritual practice. I love it for a lot of reasons, but the main reason, I swear to God, I think the main reason I love it so much is because it works.
It works.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and today we're talking about unconditional love. Today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today. Wait till we're here again live. Sherry, I have to say I could relate to that discussion about marriage and commitment.
I bet you can.
Seeing as I'm looking at an upcoming marriage, and that, to me, seems to be the crucial movement, is the commitment to our own lives first.
Yes.
And then everything else just falls in place.
Yeah, in the same way that if we stay with that idea, you commit to another person, and then for a lot of people that means a family. So then you're going to commit to children, or you're going to commit to, you're committing to, it's funny, somebody was telling me, my grandson was telling me a story about a friend of his who is Iraqi, and this friend's father actually came from Iraq and moved to this country, and this is his father's story about being a young man, and he was like 15, 16, something like that, and he was in a very scary situation, and this other fellow warned him how dangerous it was, and that, in fact, his life was immediately in danger, and saved his life, and they became fast friends, as that kind of situation you want to do with people. And so as a result, this fellow, whose life was saved, married this fellow's daughter.
Wow.
And, it's such a natural... Now, of course, we don't need to get into the politics about this young woman and whether she wanted to get married and who she wanted to marry. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that when you feel that way about someone, you want to join them. You want to be part of their family. That's a kind of a natural we kid about people go on retreat together. They spend 10 days in a silent retreat together, and they all want to go home and live together.
Yes.
Because they just love each other so much. Our hearts are open in that way. So to make that commitment to oneself first, again, it's just a natural kind of a... progression to commit to other people, to an awareness practice, to a partner, to children, to it just follows.
Yeah.
Because we want then to bring that which we love into that which we love.
Yes.
If we love our lives, then we want to share those lives with others.
Yes. And it seems in the way you're describing that there's less of that anguish that can go along with that kind of commitment.
That really is a problem for the uncommitted person.
Yes.
At least the people I talk to, I spend most of my time talking with, I think they would agree it ruins their lives.
Uh-huh.
That anguish about making a mistake and being inadequate and what should I do, and is this the right life, and I don't know, and what's my passion, and what's my purpose, and I hate my job, and it ruins their life. And, again, if their first commitment were to themselves and to unconditional love, then none of those things technically would matter.
Wonderful.
Do you have more people lined up for us?
We do have more people, and we are going to come to them right after this break. So keep it tuned here. Radio. Today we're talking about unconditional love. Coming up in segment three, we'll be continuing this conversation with our callers. And don't forget, today's show is pre-recorded, so don't call us today. Call us when we're back on the air live. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're talking about unconditional love today. And today's show is pre-recorded, so don't call us today. Call us again when we're back on the air live. And I think we have some more people here wanting to talk with us. I'd like to welcome our next caller to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey there, this is Justin.
Hey, Justin.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Great.
What I was noticing, I really appreciate in particular what the last caller was saying about, you know, commitment to oneself and one's life. And I was, I have a desire for myself and my life to live a much larger and deeper life than I was brought up to live. And I was, you know, what I got as a result of that last conversation is that the only way that that's going to be possible is to live with that kind of commitment to unconditional love for myself.
Yes. Yes. You know, when you're speaking of it, I have this picture, and there's you and life, and in between you and life, and this is not just you, of course, this is every conditioned human, but in between you and life is this what would be a good image? Maybe like a tapestry, of everything that you have ever been taught to believe about who you are and what life is and how it works and what's true and what's right and all of those things. And so there you are. Maybe it's one of those two-way mirrors or however those things work. But you look at that and you look at the world and all you see is you.
Mm-hmm.
All you see is everything that you've been taught to believe. You can't actually see the world or life. All you see is the limitations that have been imposed on you through social conditioning and karma.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like one of those. I'm sure that, you know, there are words to describe this, but unconditional love is like holding up a spray thing against that. And it just dissolves it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so unconditional love is applied to that tapestry, and it just melts it.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, there's nothing between you and life, between you and the world. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, you're actually able to see yourself clearly. You're able to see life clearly. You're able to see everything that's possible. And
yep.
That's... You know, that's a large life.
That is a large life. And, you know, what's amazing about it is when I'm living from my small life that I was, you know, kind of brought up and trained to have, at one point, I mean, I had no idea that there was even that mirror or that tapestry you're talking about.
Right. It was just reality.
It was just real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now most of the time I have a sense that there's something else there
mm-hmm.
than what I can actually see.
Uh-huh.
And it requires a sort of a leap of faith into the unknown to find out what that is, you know, to spray the thing on the mirror so that I can actually see what's there.
Yeah.
And the only thing that makes it possible is that, you know, it's a experimentation process.
Yes.
You know, I have to be willing to step beyond what I know and risk, you know, like the first caller was talking about, being wrong, for example, or being the wrong person, or all these things that
being foolish,
get in
your mind. Making a mistake and being foolish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if I'm approaching my life from a place of self-judgment, then, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. And so I'm trapped within that small life. But if I'm coming from a place of unconditional love, then, you know, it doesn't matter. I understand from that place that it's a process of exploration and experimentation. And then it's all fun in a way, because I'm finding out that there's more to me than I knew. But I'm also finding out that relationship with myself that makes that kind of growth possible.
Yes. And there's an aspect to it that's even slightly different from that. And that is that, well, I can't remember if this came out in the email class, but there's this woman who's like 82 years old, and she ran her first marathon when she was 55, and she won. And since then, she's run, I think, over 100 marathons all over the world.
Wow.
And at 82, she's still running marathons, okay? And this is her motto. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Mm.
So when we're in that small place, everything about that small place is true.
Right.
I can't. I'm inadequate. It's not going to work. There's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all true.
It's true about the small place.
It's true. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's true about the person who's in the small place.
Mm-hmm.
It's true about the view within and from the small place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the moment we step into that big place, the moment it occurs to you that solvent exists,
uh-huh.
You're already in the big place.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It's astounding. So it's not even like you could be in the big place and make a mistake, but it's okay because you're learning. Because there aren't any mistakes.
Right.
There isn't even any learning.
Right. There's actually no place to go.
That's right.
It's just a
There's just big.
Excuse me?
There's just big.
There's just big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then small is an illusion.
Yes.
You know, it's just completely made up. And so, and yeah. all of the stuff that normally, you know, all the thoughts and feelings and everything that normally keep me, to try to keep me in that small place, you know, when I'm in the big place, I can see that, you know, they really don't exist.
That's exactly right. Which tells me you're in the big place right now.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
Right?
I think I just went to the small place and you said that.
Yeah.
But because it's true.
That's exactly right. Now, when we're in the small place, we're trying to fix ourselves, we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to change, we're trying to get it right, we're trying to, all of this stuff. It's stressful, it's a lot of efforting, it's,
right.
You know, tense muscles and ulcers and all kinds of things.
Right.
Okay? Then, poof, we pop into the big life, and we can see that, wow, that's just, talk about much ado about nothing.
Right.
You know, there never was anything wrong. There is no problem.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my gosh, that poor person.
Yeah, and that view is unconditional love.
That view is unconditional love. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't even want to fix that poor person who was in that small place suffering.
No, there's nothing wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with that person.
Yeah, he was just confused.
Yeah. Yeah, he thought something that wasn't true was true.
Yeah, and then it's really easy to see that, well, there's a good reason why he thinks that, because he knew as a part of the way, like part of the way I grew up, I had to learn how to be small in order to adapt to the world that I lived in.
That's right.
You know, it's really easy to feel compassion for someone, understanding kind of where it came from.
That's right.
And also to say, you know, I mean, I completely understand, and you don't have to live that way anymore.
That's right. And that's what, that movement to unconditional love and acceptance for that person whose conditioning we know so intimately,
mm-hmm.
That's what enables us to extend that unconditional love and acceptance and compassion to everybody else, because we sort of get it that they've gone the same route.
Yeah, we're all the same.
We are all exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Trying so hard to be unique and different and Yeah.
Well,
so desperately wanting to fit in and feeling afraid that we're different and unusual, terrified that we're not different and unusual, and we're all exactly the same.
Yeah. Who wants it?
Pardon me?
I said, who wants it, that life that we're trying to have something other than what's real?
Oh.
Which is just that experience of unconditional love for all that is.
Yeah. It's bliss, it's joy, it's everything that we twist ourselves into a pretzel hoping someday we'll get. And when we stop the twisting, we realize we're already there and we're already that.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Mm-hmm. Then we have to just chuckle.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really fun.
Enjoy the big place.
Okay, don't worry.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Justin. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. This show is pre-recorded, and we're getting near the end of the hour. Sherry, and I wanted to take a minute or two to announce a couple upcoming events.
I'd appreciate that.
On January 2nd, in the Bay Area, we have a Best Year Yet workshop, which is an annual workshop, which is a lot of fun.
I think this is our fifth year?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just, people will often say, well, what do you do about planning and goals and all that with Zen practice? Because you can't do that because you just have to be in. And this, your best year yet, answers all of those questions. You can do all of that and have a great deal of fun right now.
Yes, yes. And the following weekend, on January 8th.
So excited.
We've got a big concert coming up.
Big concert. The Splash Concert. And I think at this point, you can listen to the music. If you go to livingcompassion.org, there's a link that'll let you listen to some of Trish and Richard's music.
Great.
Some of the stuff that we'll be hearing at the concert. We're calling it a peace party. I think it's going to be a great deal of fun. And you can get all of the information by visiting Living Compassion or giving us a call.
Wonderful. That phone number is 877-33-PEACE.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we go to Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia on the 14th and 15th.
Nantahala Gorge, North Carolina.
Yes. Malaprops Bookstore.
Malaprops Bookstore. And then
Asheville, North Carolina.
Come back for, change clothes and get ready to go tropical and head for Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to join me there. That's right. We go to Austin, Texas.
That's right, yeah. For a workshop on depression.
On depression. I'm very excited about that as well.
Yes, and that's the end of
and
January.
And that's telling. I'm going to do a workshop on depression, and I'm really excited. So those two fit together perfectly in my world, and I hope people will join me to find out how those two can fit perfectly together in your world as well.
Give me a 10-second preview.
Depression is the greatest ally a person can ever have in
uh-huh.
the pursuit of ending suffering.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Your best spiritual friend.
Wow. And you have a book on that topic as well.
Do.
Yes. The Depression Book.
The Depression Book with a black cover. Proving that we have a sense of humor about depression, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wonderful. Today's show was on unconditional love. It was pre-recorded, and we'll be back again live soon, so stay tuned for that. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners, all of our callers today. You can email us when we're not on the air at openair@livingcompassion.org, and you can listen to archives of all the shows right here at worldtalkradio.com. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. See you soon.
See you soon. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.